This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio. You can also listen to us live online in high-definition sound. It's 1 o'clock, time for the news now read by Jill Anderson.
The Australian media regulator says it's received a lot of complaints about the prank call made by two radio presenters from Today FM to a hospital which treated the Duchess of Cambridge for morning sickness. A nurse who picked up the call, Jacintha Sultana, was found dead yesterday. The Australian Communications and Media Authority says it's discussing the matter with the radio station. 8 police officers were injured last night in rioting in Northern Ireland by loyalist protesters opposed to new restrictions on flying the Union flag over Belfast City Hall. Assistant Chief Constable Will Kerr of the Police Service of Northern Ireland says some of the violence was orchestrated by loyalist paramilitaries. The home of an Alliance Party councillor was also attacked. The Egyptian army says it wants to see dialogue between President Morsi and the protesters who object to the extra powers that he's assumed. In a statement, it says any other approach will lead the country to disastrous results. Thousands of people have gathered in Gaza for a rally to mark the 25th birthday of the Palestinian organisation Hamas. The exiled head of the party, Khalid Mashal, will address the crowd on his first visit to Palestinian territory for nearly 40 years. Britain has issued another warning to Syria not to use chemical weapons against the rebels fighting to force President Assad from power. President Obama has already told Syria there would be serious consequences if they were to be used. Campaigners who believe the tax policies of some big companies raise moral issues are staging protests outside some branches of Starbucks coffee shops. The UK Uncut group says its demonstrations are not aimed at ordinary Starbucks workers. Earlier this week, Starbucks volunteered to pay £10 million in corporation tax for 2 years after paying no corporation tax for 3 years. And the weather: rain and strong winds in the northwest will gradually spread south into central and southern parts. Rain may be heavier and more persistent in northern and western Scotland. That's the BBC News, 2.5 minutes past one.
And it was read by Jill Anderson. Now on Radio 3, the early music show with Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the show, and highlights today from a concert of Baroque chamber music, much of it from southern Germany and Austria. It was given in Bremen by a Cologne-based ensemble who, since they began working together some 9 years ago, have made quite a reputation for themselves at festivals all over Europe. The lineup is that classic Baroque combination of two violins, cello and harpsichord, and they call themselves Neo-Baroque. Thank you. Chaconne from Partita No. 3 in A by the 17th century Bohemian Austrian composer Heinrich von Bieber. It was performed there by the ensemble Neobarock, and we'll be hearing another piece by Bieber at the end of the programme. When it comes to early music, and especially works by composers who are not particularly well known today, it's important to present it in a way that connects to audiences in the present. After all, it was new once, and if we want to experience it as far as possible in the way that it sounded when it was written, then it's not just about using appropriately constructed instruments, gut strings, harpsichords and so on. Performers also need to make the music seem fresh again. And it's this that Ensemble Neo-Baroque have concentrated on since they began playing together back in 2003. We're going to hear them now in three works. Salomone Rossi may not, strictly speaking, be an Austrian or German composer, of course. In fact, he lived and worked in Mantua for much of his life. But he deserves a place here because his most outstanding achievement was the development of the trio sonata, music for two top-line instruments above a keyboard and usually with a bass instrument backing up the harmonies. And the piece of his we're going to hear in a moment illustrates this very well by using the traditional and much-played ground bass pattern known as Ruggiero as a starting point for some imaginative violin lines. While Rossi stayed in Italy all of his life, Johann Caspar Kehl, whose sonata ends the set, seems to have been forever on the move, from Vienna as organist to the Archduke, and then to Rome, on to Brussels, and then to the court of the Bavarian Elector in Munich, and back to Vienna again. Kehl continued to churn out music for the great and good of Europe. Operas, chamber music and church music. He is not only an excellent organist, declared the astonished Emperor Leopold I when Kehl was invited to play at his coronation, but he is a skilled composer. But first we're going to hear a sonata by a musician who was a violinist through and through, Ruprecht Ignaz Mayr. Just 20 years Kehl's junior, Mayr studied in Paris with Lully in the early 1680s. His influences were largely Italian. In fact, he even wrote some operas for his students in Munich. It's an example of his chamber music we're going to hear now, though. His sonata in D minor for two violins and basso continuo, performed here by Neobarock.
Thank you.
three examples of the Baroque Trio Sonata by the Austro-Germans Johann Caspar Kehl, and to open the set by Ruprecht Ignaz Mayer. And in between we heard Sonata Sopra l'Aria di Ruggiero by Salomone Rossi. You're listening to The Early Music Show here on Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping, and highlights from a concert given in Bremen by the ensemble Neo Baroque. Well, our next sonata is for just one violin and continuo accompaniment, and it's by another of those early master violinists. His name was Carlo Farina, and he was born in Mantua around 1600. In fact, he may have been a pupil of Rossi, whose sonata we've just heard. Farina's playing took the art of the violin to new heights, particularly while he was concertmeister at the court in Dresden, where virtually all his music appears to have been written. Again, like Rossi, he's earned his place in this programme because he was such a major influence on German violin music, coming at a time when idiomatic writing for string instruments was still in its infancy. Farina's imaginative experimentation with the instrument was really remarkable. Quite a lot of it's about showmanship, demonstrating what the violin could do by using double stops and special effects. And in this sonata, La Desperata, extensively playing on the lowest string, the G, which was really quite unprecedented at the time.
Thank you.
Sonata La Desperata for violin and basso continuo by Carlo Farina, part of a collection published in 1628. The performers all through today's programme are Neo-Baroque, a four-piece ensemble who specialise in chamber sonatas. Volker Möller was the violinist there, with Fritz Siebert on the harpsichord and on the cello, Ariana Spiegel. For their next piece, recorded from their concert given in Bremen, they're joined once more by the violinist Marin Ries for another partita by the man considered to be the most outstanding violin virtuoso of his day, Heinrich von Bieber. As well as being a brilliant player, Bieber was also an extraordinarily imaginative composer whose reputation spread well beyond the boundaries of Central Europe. At the heart of his style was an exciting sense of unpredictability which took the art of violin playing into a new realm. Constant inventiveness, improvisations and technical feats, sometimes even changing the conventional tuning of the instrument. The piece we'll hear comes from Bieber's collection of seven partitas, poetically entitled Armonia Artificioso Ariosa, and published in 1696. He dedicated it to the Archbishop of Salzburg, who was not apparently much of a music lover. Music is an indulgence, not a delight, the great churchman was heard to utter. It begins with an elaborate prelude, after which we hear a set of 13 variations, and finally an adagio allegro. So, to end today's programme, here's Neo-Baroque once more with Bieber's Partita No. 6 in D.
Thank you.
Partita number 6 in D by Heinrich von Bieber bring to an end this programme of highlights from a concert given in Bremen by the group Neobarock. Volker Merle and Maren Ries were the violinists, the cellist Ariana Spiegel and Fritz Siebert on the harpsichord. Do join us again soon.
That was Lucy Skeeping. The Early Music Show was produced in Salford by Chris Wines. And in tomorrow's programme, Catherine Bott looks at the influence of the troubled 16th century Italian poet Torquato Tasso on the world of music. That's at the same time, just after 1 o'clock, tomorrow lunchtime, here on BBC Radio 3.
A fifth symphony of five movements, with at its heart an oasis of peace, the famous Adagietto. Mahler's Symphony No. 5, performed live on Radio 3 by the London Philharmonic with its principal conductor Vladimir Yurovsky. Radio 3 live in concert, Wednesday night on BBC Radio 3 at 7:30.
Back to this Saturday afternoon, just gone 2 o'clock. And time now for the Radio 3 lunchtime concert and another chance to hear last Monday's live broadcast from Wigmore Hall in London. It's introduced by Louise Fryer.
Well, I'm sure you're aware that Wigmore Hall is immersed in a festival of Britain. Benjamin Britten, that is, at the start of his centenary year, and the hall is packed this lunchtime as tenor Mark Padmore and mezzo-soprano Christine Rice prepare to sing a selection of Britten's songs with pianist Malcolm Martineau. They demonstrate the wide range of Britten's vocal output, from his only settings of German poetry to his early cabaret songs to his last song cycle reflecting on childhood and settings of well-known English folk songs. Mark Padmore leads the way with 6 Hölderlin Fragmente, 6 Hölderlin Fragments, dedicated to Prince Ludwig of Hesse on his 50th birthday in 1958. The prince was a great admirer of the poet Friedrich Hölderlin, who was a younger contemporary of Goethe and Schiller. The first song expresses the poet's feelings at the vanity of human praise. Then in Die Heimat, home, a sailor returns with rich pickings, unlike the poet who's harvested only sorrows. The third song subverts an episode in Socrates' Symposium. The ageing philosopher is admired by the youth Alcibiades, but here it's the other way around, Socrates explaining that he who has thought most deeply loves what is most living. The fourth song celebrates the poet's own youth. In the fifth, he has a midlife crisis, wondering if he'll find consolation when winter comes. And in the final song, peace and fulfilment is found in God. Here come Mark Padmore and Malcolm Martineau to begin this Feast of Britain with 6 Hölderlin Fragmente.
Still in Strom von fernen Inseln, wo ihr geendet. Zog der Wunder des säuselnden Haars.